Yo.
I have tonight have to speak at the Bar Mitzvah at 7:30, because I won't get there in time in Beit Shemesh. So I went, usually I don't, but I went to that Meir, there's a Spanish shul not far from here, called Kutavot. I sometimes go there. I have to like the Meir there, because they daven very slowly, word for word, and I enjoy that immensely. Anyway, I went to daven, and I found myself, the place is jam-packed beyond belief. There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. I said, what's going on here? And then I see in front, all the Dalai Rabbin Mr. Ali. I'm talking about Maran Harav Avadya, I'm talking about Harav Akshi Daron, Maran Rishon Zion, a whole slew. And then they get up to speak, one after the next. There was a hesed being given, someone who passed away a year ago. So I said to myself, I went there around 5:05 to daven Maariv, and I just came back this second. I snuck out of the shul. I snuck out of the Knesset. I was absolutely so enthralled by the Rabbanim who spoke, I was literally beside myself. And why didn't I beside myself? The topic they addressed, there were six rabbis that spoke. There were actually about a line of about 15, but I didn't wait for the other nine. I just couldn't. Each one said they're speaking the Tachlit HaKitzur. So I see Svadi Rabbanim had the same malaise as the Ashkenazi Rabbanim. It's no different. But one of them spoke very beautifully about the Manoach, the person who passed away. This individual was a manhig. He was a leader. He was a balabayit. Balabayit means, as you translate balabayit, a lay person. Someone who was incredibly devoted. He found, he built that shul, Sutavot, a number of decades ago. Now he built that shul, he built several other shuls. He wasn't a wealthy person, but he was someone who was driven, unbelievably, driven by his love of Tamidei Chachamim. He loved the Gadol Yisrael. That's why they all came. In full regalia. He loved Torah. He loved Tamidei Chachamim. And he loved to do mitzvahs. He was just simply, his love for mitzvahs was absolutely infectious, contagious, overpowering, enthusiastic beyond belief. That's what they were describing. Each one of the Rabbanim who got up to speak. And so I literally forgot where I was. I forgot what God was. And was just listening to his unbelievable hespedim of the Dalei HaRabbanim HaSfaradim here in Yerushalayim and Bechlal Eretz itself. One of the things that I took from there, and I decided to speak about it. I had actually in mind to speak about something else, and I totally changed my kibun in the course of listening to these drashas. They said, they were talking about my kibun, leadership in Klal Yisrael. And basically they pointed out that leadership really has a dialectic. There's really a double, dual aspect to leadership. On the one hand, you know that a leader has to be a takif, someone who is a strong person, someone who has a clear direction, someone who has a clear sense of where he's at and where he's going. There's no question that is a very fundamental and probably a salient aspect of what leadership is all about. I don't want to start giving examples now, because then we can get off the track. I'm talking about examples here in the state of Israel. And I imagine I could also bring examples of the United States as well, talking about political leadership in the American government. But I can speak more with greater confidence about what's happening here since I'm living here the last 15 years, or Hashem Ken Yirbu. And certainly that element of Takifut is critical. However, another aspect that they spoke about is the fact that it's very nice to be a leader who's a Takif, but primarily a leader has to have a connection with Klal Yisrael. And not just with Klal Yisrael as a whole, but with individuals in Klal Yisrael. With every individual. With every member of Klal Yisrael has to be important to a leader. That's something which often leaders who speak to the public at large, they're focused on large groups of people as opposed to being focused on the individual. And in Tanakh we see constantly, for example, just to give you one example that was not an example that was used, but Shlomo HaMelech, who's the, probably, may have been in Tanakh, the king who really was, in some respects, probably the most powerful king that ever reigned. And then we find in Tanakh a rather unbelievable description of two women who appear before him. I wouldn't call them exactly the most bakavadik of women. Women who are described in Tanakh as two nashim zonot. Women who are practicing harlotry, prostitutes, who somehow gain entree into the king's inner chambers. That's astounding. That a melech would have, shall we say, interest, or would care about two women who are of ill repute, and obviously they're able to have entree to the king, entree to the leadership, and that's really, I think, one of the greater qualities of a melech. I just want to read you a Rambam in Hilchos Melachim that I just thought of, and this will be the Hakdamah to what I wish to speak about. The Rambam indicates in a very famous Rambam, he talks about the obligation that one has to show Melech Kavod, and the Rambam writes over there, he tells you all the dinim of Kavod, that a Melech has to be shown, and then the Rambam says, it's true that a Melech is on a high pedestal, and is someone of great stature, and the cover that wanted to show a melech, and we know that melech shemalach ha'klodo, the Gemara says in Kedushin, a melech who's not on his cover, the Gemara discusses whether klodo machol, ain't klodo machol, we have a din shetei, mafto alecha, one has to fear the king, some tafsim alecha melech, but then the Rambam writes in Allah above the following. Kedera shemachalak lo ha'kosin ha'kavel ha'godo, v'chayavel ha'kol b'chvodo, everyone is obligated to honor the king, but mitzad shein, says the Rambam, a king also has to have tremendous anava, tremendous sense of humility and humbleness. He can't be overbearing or overweening. He can't be contemptuous of the people, chas v'shalom, or arrogant. We talk about this at great length. Where is the Isa of Gaiva mentioned? So if you look in Chumash, you have a number of occurrences of the Isa of Gaiva, the famous Smag, who points out that the Isa of Gaiva is found in Sukkim, in the Sefer Dvarim. I won't talk about that here. But the Rambam of Chumash says, no, the Isa of Gaiva is not found in the Parshas HaMelech. The Torah speaks about the Din of Minu Melech, whether the obligation is a mitzvah or a reshut, that's Machlokes HaRishonim. But there the Torah says that a king, because of his stature, because of his position, there's always a fear he's going to chas v'shalom become a bal gaiva. And the Torah says, "L'vilt yirum b'vavam echav, l'vilt yisurv an amitzvah yavrin small." That is the fear. And the Ramban says right there, the Torah legislates and articulates the issue of gaiva, because obviously it's more relevant to a king, to someone in a great position of leadership, who can be carried away with himself. So the Ramban says here that he has to be humble. V'yetzei v'yavo, the chavotzeim u'b'tovotzom, v'yechonin u'marachit u'tanim u'gdolim. You have to deal with all kinds of people, not just with people of power, people of wealth, people of pomp and ceremony, but even the small people, the little people. V'yachos ha'kod katan shebitanim, u'shebedaber el-kol ha'kod, v'l'shon rabbi midaber rako shenemar, Ram quotes psukim, and he tells you, the olam yisnaig banav yisera. You have to, in effect, he has to personify anava, humility and humbleness. Anyone who got with Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the greatest man, the greatest melech itself, Moshe Rabbeinu, like he did melech, the Rambam writes that earlier, and Mishael pointed out, and he talked to the Chumash, the passage that said, "Vayi b'shur melech, nitzatzi Moshe Yon, yachad shitei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, the din melech." Yeshua had a din melech also. Take a look at the end of Perek Aleph, the Sefer Yeshua, that the idea of rebelling, Moreh v'malchut, comes from there, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu, despite his stature, Moshe Rabbeinu is incredibly humble, exceedingly humble. The Rambam says, I'm reading just part of it. That's the very nature of Mahigus. The Brisko of Tashat's beginning of Va'era refers to Yushalmi, and Rashi quotes it actually in Chumash, and several times Rashi mentions this. Also found in Pinchas when Moshe Rabbeinu is in place of Yeshua ben Nun, the notion that Amanat, you accept the king, Amanat, that he's going to be subjected to blisteros. They're going to throw barbs at him, and they're going to throw stones at him, rubber stones, of course. We're not talking about stones, chas v'shalom, but rather, he's going to be subjected to all kinds of what the Gemara calls, as I said, chitzim of blisteros, verbal tirades, because sometimes Kal Yisrael can be very difficult. And that's exactly what the king has to be able to weather. He has to develop the skin of a pachyderm and understand that's the nature of manhigus. That's part of what it means to be a leader. And around the hand, I'm skipping, Roe Kro HaKotzim. The Torah calls him a Roe. And the prophet says in Pinchas, Lo Tia Adat Hashem Katzon HaShem Lehem Roe. Liros B'Yakob Ambo. He has a flock, Tzon Kadoshim, that's the prophet in Yechezkel, that his flock are like sheep. B'Dal Kashoreh Mefush B'Kabbalah. So the Rambam is telling us here, and we know that not just Moshe Rabbeinu do we see this anova, but in general, if you remember, when the Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a man of Yisrael, it's Yadua. Moshe Rabbeinu became a man of Yisrael according to the Medrash, when the Medrash describes how Moshe Hayaroh is so Yisrael Chosno Koin Midyon. Vayinag et Tatsan Achara Mitbar, the Sukkim beginning of Shemot, Vayavol Hara Lokim Chareba, and one of the sheep apparently was thirsty, and more or less this particular sheep decided to leave the flock and was looking for water. Moshe Rabbeinu realized it and went after the sheep and picked them up, and as a result Hashem said, if you show such tenderness and such compassion and sensitivity for sheep, it's clear you are worthy of becoming the Roe Yisrael. So a king really has a double, there's a dialectic, there's a duality, there's a kind of tensile balance in the king. On the one hand, you have to be a taket, you have to have leadership qualities and someone who has, as I said, a clear position, a clear mandate. On the other, mitzat sheni, a king has to be especially careful not to become a balgaita. So I thought that perhaps that's what I'll speak about this evening. If you look at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, essentially, Vayeshev describes Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef HaTzadik on his way ascending to become a manig. Yosef, as you know, ultimately became a manig. The Gemara speaks about, the Chazal speak about Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So Yosef had in him elements of Malchus, not the Malchus of Mashiach, because that is vested in Yehuda, the Ramban writes in Vayechi, and the Rishonim point out, Yosef Shem Yehuda, Mechotzi ben Rakov, but Yosef HaTzadik was certainly viewed by Yaakov Avinu. Eilat told us Yaakov Yosef that Yosef is viewed as a melech, as a manik. And we mentioned already the Svarno, another Rishonim would point out that Sonat Patzim really embedded this idea. He is the Ben Zikunim, Bar Chakim, as Rashi calls him, the Targum, the one that Yaakov Avinu essentially gave over the Mesorah. He wanted Yosef to be the melech. Harav Soloveitchik, the Chenle Brachon, was fond of commenting on the famous Haftorah, which we are all familiar with. The Navi describes actually in the Haftorah, and really it's not just the Haftorah, but the Navi in Yechezkel, Paraglam Zayin, Haftorah Vayigash, speaks about two eitzim, two pieces of wood, one eitz is written Yehuda, and the other eitz is written Yosef, and we know there's a struggle between Yosef and Yehuda, beginning by Yigash. The Medrash actually describes in unbelievable terms, two gladiators who actually went at each other, what they call in Hebrew, Hikakshut Chazitit, a frontal kind of clash, and each one had a din melech. Yosef had a din melech, and the Medrash quotes the pasuk, "Ki inei melachim namazu avu yachdav hemaro kein tamo nitalu nechbazo ruada chazatam sham chil kayoleda." That's one of the mizmorim we say during the week. But there are two kings who are struggling with each other, and ultimately, which one prevailed? The one that prevailed, of course, was Yehuda. Or Yosef Shem Yehuda Mechotzi Bei Raglov. He is the king par excellence. However, Yosef also had the din melech, but Yosef, of course, was a melech only of a temporary nature. And even though Yosef dreamt of Malchus, and that's what we have in this week's Parsha, the two dreams of Yosef, v'nei anachnu ma'alum ma'alum tov ha'sodeh, v'nei kovah l'umotzi v'gam mitzovah, v'nei tisuvera l'umotzeche v'atishtachavera l'umotzi, and right away they sent in ha'molot timloch aleinu, v'vosho timshovonu. And the way the going is said to Sukkim, ha'molot timloch, the going says, refers to, ein melech v'lo'am, Chazal say, melech is a king who is accepted by the people,
and Moshe was some of the autocrat, a demagogue, who imposed himself, who voiced his authority upon others, and their second dream followed suit, and again, so Yosef already dreams of Malchus, and one has to examine carefully the psukim, that's what I want to show you right now, these elements of Malchus, and the struggle that Yosef had in order to achieve, what, as I said, the kind of balance that the Rambam describes that Melech has to possess. The Melech has to have, on the one hand, a takif, a leader, someone who shows leadership. On the other hand, the elements of Anava, of humility, of humbleness. These two are a dialectical kind of tension, a tensile balance between these two forces, these two elements converge in a king. And let's take a look at a moment and see the personality of Yosef and how he emerges and how he evolves. The Torah begins by telling us that Yosef was 17 years old. Rashi comments, he was concerned about his appearance. And then the Torah tells us further, Rashi says, what did Yosef do? He brought that which he saw about his brothers. He told his father, namely, they were violating Abraham and Achai. They were mezalzim of Ne'ashrochos. They called them Abadim. They were chashed on Arayos. And of course, he was punished for all of these things. But the Torah describes Yosef as someone who is a nar, someone who is very young. And we know that even Malachim, of course, I just want to stress this, anyone who's read the book, The Making of a Gadol, which I actually have read many times, the two volumes that happens to be written by my Rebbe, Yadav Kamenetsky, Shulita, whom I actually saw last night and had a chance to speak to about Richus, asked him where are the other volumes. He didn't respond. But anyway, that those two volumes are really, they tell us the following Yisrael. Gedolim are not born as Gedolim Yisrael. They go through many, many struggles when they're young, and Yosef also struggled. That's what I want to talk about. So Yosef dreams of Malchus and grandeur, but clearly he's not ready for it yet. Now, as B'nai Bilav, as B'nai Zilu, the She'avid. And we see what happens very quickly. He receives the Ksonis Patsim, and that engenders right away, the Torah describes both the Chalomos and the Ksonis Patsim engender a fair degree of Sinah and Kinah on the part of his brothers. And therefore, the brothers, when they see him, Yosef is sent by his father to look after his brothers. And how do they describe him? Vayom Isha Lachim Hinei, Baal HaChalomos HaLazeh Bo. The dreamer is here, the one who dreams of Malchus. By the way, his father, of course, already intuited or sensed somehow that Yosef was going to achieve Malchus. The Aviv Shamar HaDavar. Rashi says, Mitzatu Umamti, who's waiting for the Chalomos to come to fruition. But Yosef is not ready yet for Malchus. He hasn't yet achieved the qualities that are necessary for it. And what happens is that the moment his brothers espy him and see him, by Ashidu as Yosef is putanto, he's thrown into a pit. And we have the dialogue the Torah describes with Yehuda, with Reuben. And at the end of all this, the Torah tells us that Yosef is thrown into a pit, his royal mantle is removed, and as the pasuk says, the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma. Yosef underwent the tremendous Yerida. But as you know, as the Mishnah writes in Makos, and as the Ramban writes in Chumash, Ramban speaks about a concept called Yerida L'Tzorech Aliyah. One of the most famous Rambans in Chumash that's Kedai to learn. Every Ramban is Kedai to learn. But especially this Ramban, right now anyway. The Ramban comes into Vayigash, a famous Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam Mor Nebuchim, you know, the whole Rambam Mor Nebuchim, I assume you're familiar with Mor Nebuchim. In Mor Nebuchim, the entire table was really written for one reason. The main reason for writing Mor Nebuchim, according to the Rambam, was really to disabuse the people of a very popular notion. The most popular notion that people had in the days of the Rambam, and even today to a certain extent, was the fact that the Almighty somehow has physical qualities. The Torah, the Tanakh, describe Hashem as what? Hashem gets angry, Hashem is happy, Hashem is eating pizza, Hashem is basically doing all kinds of things that human beings do. What is known in philosophic parlance as anthropomorphic expressions and anthropopathic expressions. Hashem is described in human terms, which Chazal called Dibra Torah Kilshom Le'Adam. that the way the Torah describes Hashem is Baruch, he describes it in human terms. And so that's something which the Rambam had a lot of difficulty with, what's called in Hebrew as Hakshama, describing Hashem in Gashmi terms, in material terms, in corporeal terms, which according to the Rambam is one of the Ikri Adas. So the entire statement of one of the Ruchim was written to disabuse people of this notion. And I can't describe it at great length right now, but trust me, that's the more of the Ruchim. It's based on that Yisod. It's built on that Hadokha, on that premise, and the Rambam spends enormous amounts of time trying to disabuse people of this erroneous notion. Anyway, the one who the Rambam likes the most among the Mefarshim on Chumash is the one that the Rambam obviously sees as being the model, the paragon of Parshanus, where he is very careful, extremely careful, to get away from this idea of describing Hashem in human terms. And which Parshan am I referring to? None other than Targum Unkelus. Unkelus is the classic par excellence Parshan. Everywhere that the Torah describes Hashem in human terms, Unkelus quickly interprets it metaphorically. Vayemen Hashem be'itzgelei Hashem. Constantly, Hashem revealed himself never to be guilty, chas v'shalom, of this particular avera of hakshama. However, there are of course a few exceptions, and that's where the Rambam goes to town, and the Ramban as well, and Vayigash, who encountered one of these exceptions, Anochi Eri L'Mcham Mitzrayimam, Anochi Alcha Gam Olo, V'yotzi Yashit Yadol Einecham, and Yaakov had a dream, Yaakov was frightened about leaving Eretz Yisrael, Hashem appeared to him and said, don't be afraid, I'll accompany you down to Egypt, and I will also ascend from Egypt with you. And so the Ramban refers to the Targum Unkelus there, who translates it literally, Anochi Echus, I'll descend with you to Egypt. So the Ramban, of course, and the Rambam had a field day with that Targum Unkelus, and the Ramban as well, and that's what you have among the most famous Ramban, the Rambam in the Chumash. The Ramban there explicates and articulates the idea which is the Mishnah Makkos, in the second paragraph. The idea of Yeridu L'Tzorach Aliyah. What does it mean, Yeridu L'Tzorach Aliyah? Sometimes a person goes down, but the descent is only in order to ultimately ascend once again. The descent is an emtsa'i l'matara. It's a means to an end, the end being, of course, the ultimate reascending. And you know that. We know that in life, it's true. Sometimes people have all kinds of, they struggle in life, and they go down. But ultimately, the Yerida is an experience which they can learn from. We make mistakes. The Gemara says, people make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. Every 5 minutes, I probably make mistakes. People ask me, Shailus and Halacha, and I paskin, and I usually try to paskin correctly and try to investigate and look into every shailus that people ask me, but sometimes I make a mistake, and I learn from my mistakes. I try to learn from them. So that's called the Yerida L'Tzorach Aliyah. That not only applies in Pesach Halacha, it applies in all different aspects of life. That often people have to undergo diminution, Yerida, in order to ultimately ascend. And Ramban lays down this klal ba'arichus. Ramban talks about it, it's also a klal, which is Al-Piyah Kabbalah, and the Medrash refers to it in Shmos. The Medrash in Shmos tells us that Hashem Yisbarach had to go down to Mitzrayim. V'eirei la'atzilo b'yad Mitzrayim v'la'avoyse la'artahi. Even the Yibonah Shalom had to undergo a Yeridah l'Tzorach Aliyah. He went down to the tomb of Mitzrayim. Ein bayis asher en shomeis. Mitzrayim is a Nisakvoris. And the Medrash says, Moshe l'koyim, shenapot tumato, Moshe to a koyim with truma. Truma intrinsic shmira. The Gemara says, Olam Shach. The truma requires shmira, mishmeres tumotai, and the truma falls into the Beis HaKvaros. Whom is the truma of Hashem Yisbarach Klal Yisrael? The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tuatso. We are the truma of Hashem Yisbarach. And what happens to that truma? It's held to a cemetery. A Kohen is not allowed to go to a cemetery. So Hashem says, what shall I do? Shall I not go into the cemetery? My truma is there, Klal Yisrael. I must go, but how can I go? How can I be mitami myself? So the Kohen says, Mutar Shartami Yisatsu Yipam Achat, that I should be mitami myself on a one-time basis, in order to save Klal Yisrael. So Hashem, his truma, Klal Yisrael, fell into the Beis HaKvaros to Mitzrayim. Hashem went down into Mitzrayim. Va'erei la'atzilo mi'am Mitzrayim, ve'yiridu l'Tzorach Aliyah. It was the Yerida in order that Hashem should bring Klal Yisrael up to Mitzrayim and salvage the truma. It's also a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah writes Sanhedrin. And we have also in the Hoshanah, those who read Hoshanah carefully, and those who study them, the idea of Kalani Meroshi, Kalani Mizrohi, Ani Hashem Hashochin Imam Bitzoch Tumotam. Hashem gets into the butt, gets into the mud with us, so to speak. And we have to then subsequently dredge it out. Anyway, all this was said simply That's what was Yosef was undergoing. Yosef was undergoing a Yerida because Yosef did not behave properly towards his brothers, and there was an element here, if you will, of Gaiva. V'hu Naaretz B'nei Bilam, there's B'nei Zilbam L'She'avim, a Melech cannot have Gaiva. The royal mantle's removed, Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, and where is Yosef? Yosef finds himself in the house of Potiphar, and he's purchased there. Miyad ha'ishmaelim asher horidu shama. The key word is horidu, Yosef Burad, but of course Yosef is destined for great things, so Malchus, Vayi Hashem et Yosef, Vayi Ishmatzliach, Vayar Adonoki Hashem ito. Even his master sees that Yosef is, where Rashi quotes from Chazal, Shem Shamayim Shalom Befiv, V'chol Asher Ho'otze Hashem Matzliach V'yodo, Vayito Yosef Chayim Ve'inov, and before we know it, guess what? Vayakidei Ra'al Beisov. Yosef, who was thrown into the bar, and now was purchased by Potiphar, Swiss Paro, becomes what? The superintendent of his household. B'chol yeshlo nasa miyado. And as a result of that, the Adon sees the unbelievable hatzlacha that he has, the siyata nishmaya that he has, because of Yosef's presence. Vayi birkat Hashem b'chol asher yeshlo b'vayi tzmasode. Vayazo kol asher lo b'yad Yosef. He gives over to Yosef everything. V'lo yoda ito m'uma. Ki malachem asher ochel. But then the public says something very striking. Vayi Yosef, yifei tzoya, yifei mara. And Rashi comments, a famous Rashi, says Rashi, Yosef came in Shiruah Hatzma Moshe. Yosef sees himself once again in a position of leadership. Guess what? He's still Oichel B'Sheiseh U'Mesalto B'Saru. Once again, he begins to exhibit elements of Gaiva, eating and drinking, and somehow Silso B'Sar. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avichem Hisabeh O'Be'Atza Mesalto B'Saru. Your father is an Avelos, and you are busy twirling your hair. You're acting with Gaiva. And he began to say, I'm going to sick the bear after you. And right after that, the Torah says, who comes on the scene? Eshet Adonav, the wife of Potiphar. And we know what occurred. Rabbi Reichman and Shlita spoke a little bit about it today. And then we see, as a result of that episode, what happens after she reports to her husband. Kadvar me'ele also the adecha v'yicha apu, he becomes angry. V'yikach Adonav Yosef also v'yineo beit ha-tzohar. Yosef is thrown into prison, but obviously Yosef is destined for greatness. And when someone is destined for greatness, the Hashkacha has unbelievable ways of working. Similar to the language we saw earlier. And as a result, guess what? Who now becomes the prison ward? Who's in charge of the prisoners? Yosef. Vayitan tzav et hatzor v'yad Yosef et kol ha'asir v'ashem et hatzor v'yad kol asher osim shavu ha'yosef ein tzav et hatzor roev tom humo v'yado v'asher Hashem ito v'asher hu osef Hashem atzriah. So once again, Yosef is on the way up. But we now have the story of the Yisar HaMashkim and the Yisar HaOfim, and they tell Yosef their dreams. Yosef is there to interpret their dreams. He does interpret the dream of the Sar Mashkin. He tells him, in 3 days, you're going to be given the following position. And if you remember me, he tells him, then I'll be able to get out of here. The very famous pasuk, I'll just make an editorial comment. There was a Rav who was actually, his name was Dai Zilman, the Chazad of the Gocha. Dai Zilman was the father of the Shver of Rabbi Herzog, the Chazad of the Gocha. Anybody ever heard of Rabbi Herzog? Yes. Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi of the state of Israel, just had his 50th yahrzeit. Rabbi Shech became here, Yad Herzog, which is here in Yerushalayim, had a kenneth, devoted to his 50th yahrzeit of Rabbi Herzog. He was a going beyond belief. I didn't know him. I never was able to meet him. I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik call him Goin HaGoinim. That's what he called him. I think he spoke 11 languages fluently. He knew Kalat Torah Kula by heart. He also was the one who introduced, actually, one of those who was involved with, you're probably familiar with Cheles. He wrote a doctorate on Cheles. He was the chief rabbi of Ireland. And then he came to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so his Shver was also a very well-known Dayan Hillman, the Chassad of the Bracha. And not much is known about Dain Milman unless they even know about him. Matter of fact, Rabbi Nissel said when he married one of his children about a year ago, so his mechutin is a Sassoon, in the Sassoon family, Sassoon Library. You may have heard of it. Anyone ever heard of the Sassoon Library? Anyway, it's a well-known mishpacha, and they're into Kisayat, and so they put out for the Chasana a sefer, and that's what I examined at the Chasana. The entire Chasana, I examined that sefer, and I found from Dain Hillman, Chidush HaTera. I've been looking for it for years. And finally, I discovered Chidush HaTera from Dain Hillman. I had a few rabbeim in Lewin for the Mir Yeshiva. He also was a Telza. He learned the Telza. Anyway, the Kitzur, he was an Ugly Gadol himself, Dain Hillman. Anyway, why am I telling you the story? Because whenever I see this pasuk, I'm reminded of the story. Kigunav Gunav in the Eretz HaIbri. Dain Hillman was a Dain in England. You know, England, they have Dayanim. I don't know if you're familiar. Dayanim, someone who's a judge. He sits on DNA Torah, things like that. Anyway, we still have them today in England. So in England, the Rosh Yeshiva Telz actually was once raising money. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Avlezi Gordon, the son of the Bracha. And suddenly he passed away. He wasn't too successful in England. And the only one who knew who he was Dain Hillman, who was living in England at the time. He was a Dayan. And it was Pasha Vayesha. And so he was masking him with the following puzzle. He said, Kiguno Gunati in Eretz HaIbrim. He was stolen from Eretz HaIbrim, from Telz Yeshiva. That's Eretz HaIbrim. That's really where everything is, in the Yeshiva. The Gapova of Tisi Mahoma. He was totally unsuccessful in fundraising. And what happened to him? He summoned with Zibaboa. He basically was, he died there and was put 6 feet under. So that caused a great stir. This headspin on the part of Dain Hillman. I heard it from a few of my rabbeim, and I saw it in the sefer, and I was always very struck by that unbelievable headspin. Okay, that was just an editorial quote, and I can just put the brackets back in. And so now we have the Sar HaOfim, who hears that the Sar HaMashkin had such a good interpretation. He says, Garmani, I also had a dream. And what does Yosef tell him? He tells him news that's not so great. You're going to get a hatchet job. That's what he tells the Sar. And then we have the birthday party, fine. And then, of course, we have the Torah that tells us, please remember me. He didn't remember him at all. And now we have that at the beginning of Miket. And the reason why I'm going to Miket just one second, because in the beginning of Miket, what happens? Yeltsin, of course, interprets the dream of Charo. What's very fascinating, that here also we see once again, and maybe just let me backtrack for one second. When the Sar Mashkin tells Yeltsin his dream, what does Yeltsin tell him? In Pasuk, Perek Mem, Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Aleihem, Chalom Chalamnu, Sofer in Oso, Vayomer Aleihem Yosef, Halo Elokim Yitzronim. Hashem is the interpreter of dreams. So what does he say? Sapu no? Tell me the dream. That we apparently still carries with it a shmek of Gaiva. What does a shmek mean? Shmek is a Yiddish word.
A little bit.
A little bit, correct. A shmek, a sense of Gaiva. The fact that he used the term Li. And Kanireh, this may be also one reason why when I say that, because now the beginning of Mikkeh, when Yosef is finally comes to the fore, to Paramel of Mitzrayim, and it says this time, take a look at the language in Memalo Pasuk Tezvav, Paramel told Yosef, I had a dream, and I heard, I heard that you're capable of interpreting dreams. What does Yosef say this time? Bayan Yosef is Paramel of Biladoi. I have absolutely nothing to do with it. And what does Yosef do? Tava Hagdula Dibalav, Elokim Yame Shlom Paro. It's only Hashem is Barach, he's the one who is the dream interpreter par excellence. I am simply his servant. I have absolutely no ability whatsoever. And as a result of that, guess what? Yosef becomes the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, Paro himself recognized it. Paro Mamala Pasuk Lamatayim Amechet Vayita Adavar Eni Paro. And Paro himself underscores this in Lama text. Vayomer Paro Yosef, Acharei Hodia Elokim Oschad Kalzos, Einavam Dechacham Kamosa. So then what I'm trying to show you is that Yosef had undergo a tremendous struggle. He struggled with himself over this issue of Gaiva, and only when the Melech completely is successful in exorcising, not exorcising, but exorcising, eviscerating and expurgating any even shmek of gaiva, as I said, only then is a person really ready and willing to become a melech, and at the point Yosef became the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim. Why do I say this? Why do I speak about gaiva? I think it's also related to the upcoming Yom Tov of Hanukkah, very much so. As you know, there are two Nisim that are involved in the Nes of Hanukkah. One Nes is the Pach HaShemen, the story of the oil that the Gemara mentions in Shabbos and Chafalos and the Braisa. And the other, of course, is the Melchama, which is highlighted in the Al Nisim that we say in the Berachas HaMazon and in the Tefillah. We mentioned over there, Sh'am Amal Tisem HaRashal Amto Yisrael Ashkichim Terasecha Ulaavir Mechuki V'tzonecha. And then we mentioned that Hashem Yisbarach in His great Rachamim Rachmas Rivam Dantas Dinam Makadim Sigmasam Masad Gibor Biyad Chaloshim V'Rabim Biyad Biyatim V'tzmenim Biyad Tahorim V'shon Biyad Tzadikim. And then we use the following expression, which is what comes next? V'zeydin Biyad Ospi Terasecha. I've long been troubled by the language of Zaydin. What's the translation of that word? Puma Zaydin. And he translated the word Zaydin. Zaydin Biyad Ospi Terasecha. They are the Zaydin. The Zaydin are the Syrian Greeks whom we prevailed over. And we are Ospi Terasecha. We are those who are involved in the study of Torah. So apparently one of the reasons why we were successful is because we were up against Zaydin. The term Zaydin automatically, I think, reminds me, anyway, of Tarah Melech Mitzrayim. We actually say the Sukkot de Zimra every single day. Batitin also Tzimosim the Pharaoh, Uchol Avodah V'chol Amarso. And what does it say after that? Tiyadati Ki Heizidu Aleyem Batat V'choshen Hayom Azeh. What does it mean, Ki Heizidu Aleyem? What's the translation over there? And we say it as well, the Brachas of Kriyashma. Mi Mitzrayim Gialtonim Hashem Elokeinu Mi Beit Tzavodim Pidisonu Kol V'choyem Harokta. What did Hashem do? He drowned the Zaydin. Someone once told me about Shula. He asked me, I'm not joking, the Zaydin Tibata, he said, did that refer to the grandparents? But I was very nice to him. I didn't let my mitzvah self emerge. And he pointed out that the word Zaydin is not spelled as in Zaydi, and it's a Hebrew word. Zaydin means grandfather. And Zaydin refers to what? Those that are arrogant. Those that lack humility. Those that aren't humble. Michael, even you know that word. Anyway, Zaydin Tibata, Bididim Hevata. No, there also, there's a contrast between Zaydin and Yedidim. Between those that are arrogant and those that are Yedidim. Why are they Yedidim? Because, Klal Yisrael, we are known for our humility, for our anoga. And just to give you another example, the Shemoneh Esrei, now that I'm thinking about it, what do we say in the Shemoneh Esrei? One of the brachas we say, V'chol Arisha Kerega Tovei, V'chol Evecha Meir Yitaretsu, V'hazeidin Mehera Sa'aker, we say it also, Usa Shaber, Usa Mager, V'tachliach Meir Yoreno. What do we want Hashem to eliminate? He should eliminate all we want, all the Zaydin. Then you eliminate all those that are arrogant and presumptuous and those that are overweening, and those that are, shall we say, have more than a, what the Gemara calls the Seita, Shminish and Shminish of Gaiva. Says the Talmud Chacham is allowed to have a Shminish and Shminish. One eighth of, what was that?
One eighth of an eighth.
One eighth of an eighth of Gaiva. That's not a lot. And even that is a lot.
Isn't it also written in Mizmor Tehillim and the Pesach of the Beit that of Kings that Yim Kam Walai?
Nachon, excellent. Excellent. I was going to refer to that, but you beat me to the punch. What was that? Mayim Adedonim, Nachon? He has many, many references to this idea in Tanakh. Tehillim, actually, I was going to examine that Tarek Adelim, but I'm not going to do it now. But that's worthwhile examining. Yeah. Oh, I knew I was going to leave here one time from you.
Yeah, yeah, but the
which Gemara are you referring to? You weren't here then, yes, I can't help you. Of course you're referring to the Gemara, undoubtedly. When the Shomer was there at Hasinai, so you heard the whole shot. What Gemara is he referring to? You know the Gemara? You come with Hatoim? Hatoim and
No,
I'm trying to give you credit, and you want to take the credit.
He has no guy.
That's true. What? The question is a good question. I hear the kasha. The kasha is a good kasha. Why should we do misbalel? Like, shall we say, Gruya told the husband, "Yitama chatoy v'lo kumtz." What's the answer? There's clearly a disloga, namely, ta'aker, u'tishaber, u'timager. Those sound like pretty, shall we say, strong terms. Maybe he has to make. That's what he's asking. He's a very good man. The answer is? The answer is basically, what's the answer? Good question.
They're not Jews.
What?
My point is, they're not saying that the people who are.
The Mida. Okay, that's one way of interpreting. That's it, two answers. One answer is what Yoni said. You hear? Yoni Bardesh, the tall one. Shabbat Kuh Shlema, from all his machmas. Yoni, you heard what Rashi said?
Yes, I did.
Correct. Anyway, since we had a little private conversation, what I'm about to tell you? Yes, so one answer is to say exactly what Yoni said. He's correct. He's 100% correct, Yoni. That that's what the Pasuk means, so that's what the Tzila means. Now Zayin refers not to the Zayin themselves, even though it's not Mashma like that. The Shover Oyvim Machnia Zayin, it sounds like the Zayin might be perpetrators. Correct? You know what perpetrators are? Isn't that how they pronounce it in New York? Anyway, the perpetrators are those that actually will that epitomize those that are the quintessence of this Mida, the personalities themselves, the dramatic personae who represent this Mida. But it's possible, Yom Shad is correct, but I would tend to say there's a distinction between Gaiva is a Mida that is so abhorrent and so repulsive to Rebbeinu Shalom, it must be totally and completely, as I said, eviscerated, eliminated, expurgated,
annihilated,
thank you. What? The Rambam, Correct. The Rambam, that's what I would say, okay. But let me just finish my point, and that is, you have in Yitro, now that I'm reminding you more things, while I'm talking, you have in Pasha Yitro, the Pasuk says, Yisro was very happy when he hears about what Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael. Vayichad Yisro al kol atem v'ashe ota Hashem Yisrael asher yitzilu mi'ad Mitzrayim. Yisro says, Baruch Hashem, that God saved us from Mitzrayim and Paro. Atoy adat yigadol Hashem mikol elokim ki badavor asher zodu alehem. There also the Lashon comes up. Zodu alehem. The Ramban there, the spot, I don't have it on me, but the Ramban says, what does it mean, asher zodu alehem? That the Egyptians, they acted bizadon, they acted arrogantly. This Ramban of course fits with the famous Kachol Ram Levayim Bamashuva. You know, the Rishon asked the famous Kasha. Namely, what Kasha am I talking about? Why are the Egyptians being punished when they just carried out the will of Hashem? Ashur Shemen Api, the Navi says. Ashur simply is the instrument for Hashem to carry out whatever punishment he wants to carry out. That's what they're doing. So what's the answer?
Didn't have to be them.
What?
Didn't have to be them.
Didn't have to be them, that's true. The Pasuk says that Ba'avon Avinu Otam doesn't mention which nation. That's number one. Number two, there's a famous discussion of Rambam Levi Mitzvah Shuba. The Ramban also said they went beyond their mandate. Correct, they went beyond their mandate. Hashem said, Ve'avodim inuotav, and not to go ahead, kolaben ayila ve'oret hashikhu, to throw every firstborn child into the Nile. That was not part of the mandate. Anyway, that's part of the idea of Zodom. And let me just mention to you while I'm at it, you have actually, if you remember, in the Paro himself, the Rishonim spoke about it, Rashi mentions it in the Chumash, but also, I mean, the Bechaye, many of you showed talk about it. Para, actually, you know what was the reason for his downfall? Gaiva. The Pasuk in Yechezkel. The Navi says, I think it's in Perach Hatet. The Navi says, Li Or Bani Afisini. That he saw himself as what? As a god. He deified himself. And that Gaiva is, as I just mentioned, is the most heinous of all midos. The Pasuk in Mishlei as well speaks about Gaiva. As a matter of fact, that's exactly, I believe, what it says here. In the Avanisim, Bezeidin Yakovke Sarasach. That Gaiva, that Nida, matter of fact, we mentioned it, if you remember, those who sing Mo Surah, I assume you sing it, do Svadim sing it also? What happened to you? You were Ashkenazized. Anyway, so the Svadim also sing Mo Surah, and then with Mo Surah, what we do is we mention now in the Nefer of Hanukkah, but while we're at it, what do? We include everything but the kitchen sink. That has to be Aloha and Sharach Lagdo. Once you mention one name, you can't stop. You have to mention all names. So one of them we mention is Haman. So if you remember, we say over there by Haman, I'm trying to remember it now. What's the next line? The guy Basol Mishpacha. What did Hashem do? He took the guy of Haman and he basically squelched it. Totally, as you put it, Zevi, I will use that for Mida, but I like the way you speak anyway. He annihilated that Mida. Pulverized that Mida. Whatever the case is, Gaiva is a Mida that Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, does not possess and should not possess. And anyone who knows anything about politics, and I'm talking about politics here in the state of Israel, I don't want to mention names, but maybe it would not be right, Yoni. I don't think you would agree, or maybe you would agree. Yeah, this one's around. Benny Eisner Shlita, Benny Montague. But there have been a number of Rashi Memshala here. I have one specific one in mind, that he lost his quote-unquote Malchus, if you consider it to be Malchus. I took the parents of God, considered to be Malchus. Not so much, he did not agree with him, but whatever the case is, there was one Rosh Memshala, not too long ago, was a little bit carried away with himself. And the Pasuk says in Mishlei, it was Neshever Gaon. What does that mean? Before the breakage, what comes before the breakage? Gaon. What does Gaon mean? Gaiva. And people who are Bali Gaiva tend to fall very quickly. And so I believe that one of the very significant messages of the Nes of Hanukkah is exactly this idea, this itself, that if a person wants to, number one, become a melech or become a manig, so that which has to be completely and totally eliminated is the midah of gaiva. The midah of gaiva is absolutely a midah which we have to distance ourselves from, and we know that even though our salvation, I want to say a whole drasha, very fascinating drasha, yes, the steer in Chazal, and then the drasha began. The drasha was 4.5 hours, actually part of it is published. The Rav has a steer with the two mamar in Chazal, one mamar in Chazal says that you have to run away from the Dula, and it says, and the Rishonim say that it's based on Gaiva. Gaiva is a terrible midah. The other hand, it says, Hashem Malach Geyut Lavesh. Sounds like Gaiva is a good midah. And we know that the Prophet says in Tanakh, without Hashem, without Gaiva, the Persians speak about Azu Dikdusha, Gaiva Dikdusha. Al-Tanya talks about it. And others as well, and the Svarim HaKadoshim, this is Eliezer, your area, they speak about it. Gaiva Bidusha, without Gaiva, a person wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't get married, and you wouldn't, basically, you still have your gloves on, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so how do you reconcile? So, of course, the Rav says, Tvei Dinim. Two halachas. One is called Geyiv, the one is called Gaiva. I'm keeping this discussion right now, but the Rav went on to describe it for 4 hours. The two demons of Gaiva and Gaiva. Anyway, the idea of Gaiva is something which is a terrible, terrible video. The Rambam says there in Mishnayim, Yom Yom Hevi Shval Ruach. Why does it say twice in Yom Yom? Because Anov is the video that a Tamachachov and the Kal Yisrael have to basically cultivate. These are the beautiful videos of Kal Yisrael. And when Yosef HaTzadik realized, when he came to that Hakara, and we were able to be, shall we say, to work on that video and totally eliminate it, at that point, Yosef became the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim. That's the meaning that all of us have to work on, to be anovim, to be humble, and to keep away from gaiva, obviously, and to the extent that we can, shall we say, adapt the midah, we'll be successful, Mir Tashem, and we'll vanquish all our enemies, by Yom Mahein, by Yom Mahein.